you for listening in on Tent of Testimonies podcast. This is the official podcast of the Tent of Testimonies International under the leadership of Prophet Dr. Fred Akama and Senior Pastor Maureen Akama. As you listen to this and other amazing sound biblical teachings, our aim is to equip you with the Word of God so that you can grow into an effective believer. In today's podcast, we do believe that you will be imparted with the knowledge of God, spiritual truths, and kingdom principles that will positively affect your spiritual life. Be blessed as you listen, and may you come back with a great testimony.
Hallelujah. Amen. We want to give honor to God for bringing us together and giving us an opportunity to feast at his feet. Knowing that every time we feast at his feet, we are set for an encounter with destiny, an encounter that will be historical and transforming. We want to bless the Lord for every minister of God here today. If you are a preacher of the gospel or you are called into ministry, can I see your hand in the air? God bless you, every minister of God. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And want to thank God for all the government officials. God bless you. God bless you, Elder Margaret. Thank you. God bless you. That's the wife of Honorable Felix Hobbs. And she's here today. And all other government officials, want to thank God for the leadership of Kenya. The godly leadership of Kenya. I was sitting down somewhere, I don't know what country I was, and for some reason the television was on, and I saw President Ruto be given an outstanding treatment in the White House. And somebody said to me, he's African. I mean, it was a white person. He says, African, why is he being treated like that? I said, he's not just African, he's Christian. He's Christian, he's a believer. Amen. Righteousness exalts a nation. When a nation is embedded in righteousness, they'll be exalted. It's okay. All is well. Okay, if you have your Bible with you, break it to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy, or dethrone your enemy. Deuteronomy, or dethrone your enemy. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10 to verse 13. We have a custom. When I read verse 10, you read verse 11. When I read verse 12, we'll read verse 13 together. Is that okay? Is that okay? Deuteronomy chapter 32, I'll read 10, you read 11, I'll read 12, and we read 13 together. He found him in a desert place, and in the west, howling wilderness, he led him about. Instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eyes. Read verse 11. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Let's read verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. I want to share on honey out of the rock. Honey out of the rock. Honey. Something sweet can come out of something hard. Honey out of the rock. Anything difficult has something to offer. Every battle has a mantle. Anything difficult has got something to offer. Sometimes when we go through battles in our life, we are weary because we think that it is the end of our lives. Ecclesiastes 10:15 says that the labor of the foolish wearieth every
every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go into the city. Sometimes you are held back in pain, you are held back in despondency and cataclysm, and you are asking, how am I going to come out of the current battle I'm in? When will God show up for me? Like the psalmist, David got to a point, he has stayed too long in pain, he has stayed too long in penury, he has stayed too long in captivity, he has stayed too long in setback, he has stayed too long in limitation, he has stayed too long in despondency, he has stayed too long in the valley, he has stayed too long in mediocrity. He kept asking, when will my change come? So in Psalm chapter 6 verse 3, David said to God, how long? In Psalm chapter 13 verse 1 and verse 2, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 35 and verse 17, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 62 and verse 2, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 74 and verse 9, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 80 and verse 4, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 82 and verse 2, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 89 and verse 46, David asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 13, he asked the Lord, how long? In Psalm chapter 94 and verse 3, he asked, how long? In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, he asked, how long? In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9, he asked, how long? In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 11, Isaiah said, how long? In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14, Jeremiah asked him, how long? In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 4, he asked him, how long? In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 26, he asked him, how long? In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 28, this captivity is too long. There is someone under the sound of my voice who has been kept around the limitation. You have been kept around the spot for a long time. God asked me to tell you that the stone that the builders rejected is about to become the head of the corner. Something is about to happen in your life. There is a turnaround about to come your way. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Is your season of joy? Is your morning time? Who is it that saith a thing, and it cometh to pass? When the Lord, lift your hands and shout hallelujah.
Take your seat.
I have had people have asked questions. They say to themselves, I'm a good person, how come bad things happen to me? Ladies and gentlemen, bad things don't happen to good people. It is good people that happen to bad things. It is good people that see the end of bad things. When bad things happen, they are not meant to swallow you. Do you know something about God? There was a time I studied my Bible and I was a little bit overwhelmed because of something I saw. When a man who was called Noah, he was given an inspiration by God to build an ark unto the Lord. And the Bible says he built an ark. And after 40 days, the waters were assuaged. So Noah needed to be sure that the storm and the flood was over. So Noah sent a pigeon. And the pigeon went out and it found no resting place on the earth. So it came back. Noah sent a dove. And the dove came back. Noah sent another dove. And that dove never returned. So Noah knew that God had spoken the word. But the dove never came back. And I began to ask myself, why didn't the dove return back? Where did the dove go? But in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was being baptized and the heavens opened, I saw that same dove, that Ayamakasa. The dove came and rested. Yemi, child of God. Listen. Sometimes we want to understand God. No. God is too big to always make sense to you. He's too big. There is no searching to his understanding. His ways are past finding out. God is too big. God can lead you round, but he can't lead you wrong. He may lead you around the Jericho, waste your time. Lead you around the walls of Jericho, waste your time. He's leading you round, but there is a sixth day coming. Even if you don't understand, there is a seventh day coming. You are going around, you are not going wrong. I say you are going around, you are not going wrong. You may be going around, but you are not going wrong. When the day comes for the shout, the walls will go down. The place where we were, take your seat. He said, God helped Moses, and Moses saw honey out the rock. Do you know one time I was studying my Bible? God said to Israel, I will take you to a land flowing, and honey, flowing. So when they got to Israel, they were walking on bare ground. I was looking for the milk. I didn't find it. Looking for the honey. Because he said the land would flow. So I expected them to step on honey. I expected them to pick milk and drink. I expected all of that to happen. It didn't happen. Why would God promise me milk and honey? And I get to that place, I see giants. Why would God promise me milk and honey? I get to that place, I see mountains. I see confrontation and adversaries. What did God mean by milk and honey? Yeah, my child of God, the end product of a cow is milk. The end product of a bee is honey. So what God was trying to tell them, I will take you to a land where you will end well. I will take you to a land where you will see the end of your enemies. Yeah, but the Bible says concerning Moses, he said God brought honey out of the rock. One day Elijah began to scream. Elijah cried in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4. He said, Lord, take my life. I am not better than my father. So anyone not better than his father is not fit to live. Anyone not improving on his generation is a wasted material. Hear me, child of God. You are created because you are needed. And since you are needed, you can't be wasted. You are too expensive to be expended. You are too important to be impotent. You are a child of destiny. You are an improvement on your father. You are an improvement on your predecessors. You are an improvement on your generation. And I came to make declaration. It doesn't matter the rock. Honey will come out of it. It doesn't matter the situation. Sweetness will come out of it. It doesn't matter the pain. Listen, do you know why for 40 days, Israel could not bring down Goliath? You know why? When Goliath came, he gave all of them a name. He said, you Israelites, you are all the servants of Saul. So long they saw themselves as the servants of Saul, what swallowed Saul swallowed them. So long they saw themselves as the servants of Saul, what conquered Saul conquered them. So long they saw themselves as the servants of Saul, what Saul ran from, they ran from. So when David came, David said, you have defied the armies of the living God. I am not a servant of Saul. I am the armies of the living God. Don't let situations give you a name. Don't let your challenges give you a name. There is a name that God has given you. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I don't know what you are going through. Your circumstance don't define you. Your battles don't define you. There is something special about your life. You are a version that is undiscovered. You are not your final status. Your present state is not your conclusion. Hear me, child of God. Listen, your transition is not your conclusion. Many of you don't understand. When you are going through battles in now, going through challenges now, it is your transition. It is not your conclusion. It is your transition. It is not your conclusion. Stop thinking defeat. Can I say this to you? Do you want to hear this? Do you want to hear this? Are you sure? Don't wait till a king invites you. Carry your mind to the palace. Your body will follow. Don't wait till you get a royal invitation. Carry your mind. Think royalty. Let your mind think royalty. My heart indicted the good matter. He has made my mouth the pen of a ready writer. Carry your mind to the palace. Your body will follow you there. Carry your mind into wealth. Your body will follow you. Carry your mind into greatness. As a man thinketh in his heart. Carry your mind. The Bible, speaking of Moses. He said Moses saw honey out of the rock. So anything hard has something sweet.
Can I say this to you, our pastors, ministers of God? Every messenger must be the victim of his message. Every messenger must be the first victim of his message. If you have been called to preach prosperity, you must be broke first. You must pass through your message. If you have been called to preach marriage, you must go through some shaking in your own home. Every messenger must be the first victim of his message. You must be the first victim of the anointing upon you. The first sign of a called man, you want to hear it? When God calls you, the first sign of a called man is confusion. When God called David, David began to move from cave to cave. Cave, because it's in confusion you know your true friends. It's in confusion you get some revelations about yourself. It's in confusion you know your weakness and your strength. It's in confusion you know those who are not just friends but they are brothers. It's in the midst of confusion you start understanding some giftings you have and you were not aware. Hannah never knew she was an intercessor until Penina came. When Penina provoked her, the intercessory grace came out. There are things you don't know you carry until battle comes. He brought honey out of the rock. How did he draw honey? Three things we saw there. The Bible says he found him. If honey must come out of the rock, God must find you. Have you studied your Bible in Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah was available, Isaiah was around, and yet God was saying, whom shall I send? Isaiah was around, yet God was saying, the worst thing that can happen to a man is for your absence to be felt in your presence. That you are around in a family and God say, I'm looking for vessels. Family of seven, family of eight, God say, I'm looking for. That you said, here am I, that you said, here am I, send me, doesn't mean you'll be sent. That you said, here am I, send me, doesn't mean you'll be sent. Isaiah said, here am I, send me, but yet God sent a seraphim to touch his tongue. Here am I, send me, God sent a coal of fire. God is not looking for those who are just able, but those who are refined. That you say, here am I, send me. That you say, Lord, use me. Does not mean that you become a vessel. There are many people in the house of God who are implements. They are tools, but they are not vessels. God has many tools, but few vessels, because God has not found them. How many of you know, if you want to eat food in your house, a bucket is not a vessel. At that point, a plate is a vessel. If you want to drink water, a broom is not a vessel. What is a vessel? A vessel is a tool that is wired to meet a specific need. Not just meeting every need. You are available. Isaiah. There are many of you looking at me now. You are in a family. And yet God is looking for who to send. Because you have not met his credentials. You have not met his criteria. You have not met his credential. In this kingdom, it's not democratic. The kingdom of God is not democratic. It has to be his opinion. Not my will, but your will be done. There are so many of us who want to impose our will on God. We have given God standards. How can you be family of seven? Family of nine? You are in Kenya and God is looking for who to send. We have many people crying to God, sleeping in the church. God said, no, I have standards. Can I say this to you? no matter your tears, no matter your weeping, God cannot lower his standard for you. Sleep on the mountain, cry on the altar, roll on the floor. God said, no, you must meet my standards. You must meet my standards. Martha was standing close to Jesus. She was everywhere, but she was nowhere. She was going about cooking, doing everything, but in the kingdom, she was doing nothing. And Mary just sat down quiet, not loud. Intimacy, not loud. Do you know you can have relationship without fellowship? Many of us are saved, but there is no fellowship. We have relationship, but there is no fellowship. Fellowship is intimacy. And Jesus looked at Martha. Martha was standing with Jesus. And yet Jesus called her twice. Standing with Jesus. Jesus said, Martha! Martha! For you to be close to a man, and yet you are called twice, it means the man is seeing clearly that you have left your senses. When you call people twice, you want to bring them back to their senses. There are many of us, we are in the presence of God. We are in the church of God. We call ourselves believers. Our body is there, but our mind is far. He said to Peter, he said, Simon, lovest thou me than this? John 21, 15 to 17. Lovest thou me than this? In other words, he says, Simon, there is something that is contending my love. There's something else. Lovest thou me than this? And Samuel said, you know I love thee. Then in verse 16, he said, lovest thou me? First, lovest thou me than this? So that is the stage of love. First, when you're walking with God, you must first conquer a conditional love. I love you, Lord, because I want to get married. I love you, Lord, because I want to have a baby. No. I love you even without marriage. Lovest thou me than this? I love you even when things are bad. And he said, now, lovest thou me? The first time he said to him, lovest thou me than this? Feed my lamb. The second time he said, feed my sheep. Because if you are really feeding them, they will move from being lambs to being sheep. They can't remain lambs when they are well fed. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? We don't love him because of what we want. We love him because of who he is. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Romans 5:8. God commended his love towards us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John 13:1. Having loved his own that is in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. I love you because of who you are, not because of what I want. Lord, please find me. I don't just want to be around the altar without being part of your body. Find me. I seek you. Please find me. In Psalm 89:20, I have found David my servant. And with my holy oil, the anointing is a proof of a man who God has found. When God finds you, he endues you. And when God endues you, your generation gives you your dues. Find me! He found him. Activity is not effectivity. There was a day I was going around the world preaching the gospel. I mean, every week I'm in some country and all that. So there was a particular week I was invited to preach in a rural area. We call it village, a rural area. Now, because they had no good lightings, no good place for me to sleep and all that, I didn't go. So I preferred to go. That period I went to the UK, had a program. I came back, you know, that whole period. I mean, I got the demand to be in some rural areas that month. But I didn't want to go there. I said, no, I can't go there. I can't go there. This is old and local. So I went to big cities, did big crusades. So at the end of the month, I do it a lot. I just thank God, as I mentioned, the new month, and thank him. I say, Lord, thank you for all you did. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to do this mission. He said, what mission? I said, this one. I said, that wasn't my mission. It was your mission. So I did 4 meetings and heaven did not take record. Do you know what it means that you did 4 meetings? Miracles happen. Blind eyes open, the lame walk, the deaf had everything. And God said, in this kingdom, the host of heaven is not aware of that meeting. So who was moving? Lord, who was healing? He said, me. I will always defend my name. That doesn't mean I endorsed you. The mercy of God is not his approver. Balaam was going where God didn't send him and he was prophesying. I wept. I said, so that 1 month, he said, wasted. The people were blessed. I healed them. The blessings will remain. But in your scorecard in heaven, 0. Why? He said, you went to where you wanted rest, bodily pleasure, good food, good atmosphere. You didn't want to just mix around with farmers, struggle with bad lighting, bumpy roads. And I said, Lord, I felt I have paid my dues. 35 years of preaching, I felt by now I should rest. He said, rest where? There are times. You see why you should be careful? Why you must be careful? Because I don't want to scare you. The approver in the previous season might be the disapprover in the next season. Because what God said is not what God is saying. What God said might not be what God is saying. So you must have intimacy to know if what God said is what God is still saying. Because God can give you an instruction per time. God can tell you, go to South Africa, go to Germany, and after 7 months, your assignment is off. He wants you to go somewhere else. So what God said might not be what? Jonah, go to Nineveh, cry against the city. I will destroy it. What God said. And the same Jonah said, go tell the city, I'll spare them. Jonah said, this is why I ran away from you. This is why I ran away from you, because I know you. Elijah said to Obadiah, go and tell him Elijah is here. He said, I'll go nowhere. Go and tell him Elijah is here. He said, I know you. Before I come back, the spirit will carry you somewhere else. And Ahab sees me as a liar. I go nowhere. He said, okay, I give you my word. What God said might not be what God is saying. Eli, I said your seed will stand on my throne. But now I change my mind. He is God. He is God by himself. There is nothing you can do about it. Psalm 115 verse 3. He said, I'm the Lord. I have done as I please. See, the Lord is in the heavens and he has done what pleases him. What God said might not be what he found him. And that's my prayer for you tonight, that God will find you. In the world of business, he's looking for someone to elevate. In that financial world of rest, someone to become a blessing to the body. God will find you. 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 The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, he said when he came, he found Peter sleeping. Mark 14:37. He found Peter sleeping. He said, wake up! Wake up. Mark 14:37, not 27. Wake up! Watch and pray. Watch. He findeth them sleeping. He said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could thou not watch for 1 hour?
When you wake up,
engage destiny. He found him. There are so many of us who have been in spiritual slumber. How can there be witchcraft operation in your family and you are alive? You have been made a gatekeeper in that family. The reason things are bad in that family is because you have not woken up.
The day you wake up,
you become a rebel with a curse. A rebel. David said, is there not a curse?
Rebel.
He found him. Lord, find me. Lord, find me. Lord, find me. Lord, find me.
A woman called Dorcas, God found her.
When they began to pray, this woman died. And when Peter came, they brought out all that she did in her lifetime. You see, the unction for resurrection is triggered on the platform of good works. If before you died, you were not a blessing, why should you come back? If before you died, you were not a blessing. So what are we bringing you back to do? When they found and said this woman was a blessing, she was brought back. He found him. When I was praying about some minutes ago, God told me, said, there are many of them who are in that meeting. I'm looking for them. Oh Lord, find me.
Find me.
Find me. Find me. Find. Sir, I'm sorry to say this. The same city where James was killed, an angel came for Peter. Same city.
James was killed, beheaded,
but an angel came for Peter. Peter was about to be killed, but prayers was made by the church. If Peter was killed, who would have written 1 Peter? Who would have written 2 Peter? Who would have told us, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Who would have told us? Who would have taught us? Who would have taught us that grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who would have taught us if Peter was killed? But God found him in prison. He found him. If as you surrender tonight to the Lord, he will find you. And when God finds you, he will use you as a specimen, as an example of his glory, a proof of his power. Say, Lord, find me. Say, Lord, find me. Say, Lord, find me. One more time. You must get to the point in your life when you become an addict. It doesn't matter your situations, whatever you are going through in life. When God speaks, every other speaker is a noisemaker. When God speaks, everything hears. Everything hears. Go for the word. Are you a preacher of the gospel? Go for the word. The Bible says Jesus fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. So there were 5,000 men fed. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 5,000 men. Anywhere you have more bread than fishes, you raise men. You have more bread than fishes. The bread is the word. The fish is the manifestation of miracles. When the bread is more than the fish, you raise men. Find me. Find me. And the Bible says, number 2, he led him. I'm telling you how to bring honey out of the rock. He said he found him. God must find you. Number 2, God must lead you. Not all good ideas are God's ideas, but all God's ideas are good ideas.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word
that proceedeth, present tense word. There is power in the word of God. I like what Job said in Job 23 and verse 12. I have esteemed the word from his mouth and his lips than my necessary food. There is power in the word of God. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth
shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. There is power in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. He upholds all things by the word of his power. There is power in the word of God. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who can say what to us that there is power in the word of God? In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of God abideth forever. There is power in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is power in the word of God. Acts 19 verse 20, so grew mightily the word and prevailed. There is power in the word of God. Acts chapter 20 from verse 32, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, who is able to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 5, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. And this is the true light that lighteneth every man that cometh to the world. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And verse 13 said, not of the will of the flesh, but the will of the Father. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father, the begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. There is power. Genesis 1 verse 3, God said. Genesis 1 verse 6, God said. Genesis 1 verse 9, God said. Genesis 1 verse 11, God said. Genesis 1 verse 14, God said. Genesis 1 verse 16, God said. Genesis 1 verse 21, God said. Genesis 1 verse 26, God said. Genesis 1 verse 29, God said. Genesis 1 verse 31, God saw. He said and said and said and said till he saw. If you are not seeing, you have not spoken enough. He said it and he saw it. He said it and he saw it. Led! Many of us are led by emotions. Sir, even if you can pay for it, still pray about it. You want to buy a house, even if you can pay for it, still pray about it. Someone sent me a property, massive structure. He was about to buy it. Giveaway price. And he said, this is what this building costs. I said, wow, this is awesome. As I said that, the Lord said, shut up. Stop it. Tell him not to take it. I said, ooh. The Lord is not happy with this building. He said, no. Tell him to be happy. Tell the Lord to be happy. He said, please, I've gone my way. No. Tell the Lord to be happy. I said, but he just told me he's not happy about it. He said, oh, why did I send the picture to you now? I said, I like the building for you. But the Lord says he's not happy. I should tell you to avoid it. He says, I speak to you, sir. I'm going into my car. I'm driving to go and sign. Finish the deals and do the transfer. I said, the Lord said, don't. Ah, he felt bad. He went back inside, took off his clothes. The wife said, you're not going out again. He said, the apostle said, God is not happy about the building. He said, it's the apostle that is not happy about the building, not God. This is the favor of God. This is the favor of God. He felt bad. They were calling him. He wasn't taking their call. 3 days later, we have our Financial Crimes Control Commission. When they auction property, they display the properties. They wanted the corruption commission. They were displaying things for auction. The house was listed to be displayed for auction. Meaning, it was already a house that had crisis in court. Seized, sealed. So he was about to make, he called me. He said, sir, anything you say in this life, if you tell me to jump, I will ask you how high. Lead me. No matter how my flesh tries to convince me, lead me. Do you know? Yeah. Do you know your current crisis now? God was leading you, but you were too emotional. He showed you all the signs. But you were saying, Lord, look at me. How you were trying to be correct. You were trying to help yourself. You saw the signs. You saw everything. But you were saying, but God, if you were trying to figure it out, because you were, Lord, lead me. I have led myself too long and I make mistakes. Over to you. Holy Ghost, lead me. As many as are led, lead me. Lead me. He knew they needed the leading, so it was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Lead me. Are there things you don't want me to do? No matter how attractive, may I not do them. No matter how compelling, may I not do them. Are there things you want me to do but I'm running away from? Compel me to them by your power. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. When God leads you, he navigates you. He sees the end from the beginning. Lead me. Psalm 61 from verse 1. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. For when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Hey! Lead me. Ma, sir, this current crisis is because God was talking to you, but you were listening to your emotions. The last voice you heard was not the voice of God. It was the voice of your will. Many of us who pray and think we are seeking God's counsel. No.
It took me 4 decades to figure out how to get wealthy. I'm going to teach you how I did it.
So we say, glory.
You are looking for the endorsement of God. You are in a generation that wants to hear what they want to hear. You know now, this is a prophetic meeting.
And that's
a prophecy. There are people who already have what they want God to talk about.
Let me see.
If they have a topic for God.
Beautiful King.
Lord, my marriage. Oh, no, Lord, my finger. So they are here. So when the Lord says something that is not what they want, really? A lady was in our church in Nigeria. She was sitting in front. I picked her up. I said, where is your driver? She was holding some documents. I said, where is your driver? She said, the driver is in the car. I said, fire him. She looked at her friend. She did the documents like this. I walked away, I came back. I said, the Lord says, fire him. At the end of the service, the friend was excited. She wasn't excited. He said, I'm being owed money. I have a school. I'm being owed money. I did some contract. I'm being owed. The man is talking about my driver. Did I come here for my driver? 2 weeks later, the driver killed her. Dismembered her body and put it in the refrigerator. It was all over the news. So 2 weeks ahead, God saw it. Father, please, don't give me what I want. Give me what I need. Don't give me what I want. What my flesh wants. What my will wants. Give me what I need. Give me what I need. Not what I want. Lead me. Say, Holy Spirit. I can't hear you tonight in Nairobi. Say, Holy Spirit. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, it's not of him. The Holy Spirit is the seal. Is the trademark of your connectivity to God. God may not make sense, but he will make signs and wonders. Lead me. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. The natural mind cannot understand the things of the spirit because they are spiritually, he said they are spiritually discerned. One day, a man of God was preaching in the church. He mentioned a particular name. He said, who is sister so-and-so?
about five people bearing that name raised their hand. They were coming out. One of them was a lady who was not okay. She was walking like that. And the other four people were coming out. That lady that was walking like that was coming. The pastor went and blocked her. The lady said, but that's my name. He said, they're not calling you. Go and sit down. It disqualified her because of the way she was walking. She was looking disabled. Those people came out, and the man of God said, he called the name again. The name of this person I'm calling about is that one. So God said, one part of your body, you are disabled. She stood up. She was coming. The pastor blocked her. He said, go and sit down. The lady said, but they are calling me. And they came out. Guess the next prophecy. God says, sister, your wedding will be the talk of the town. Everyone started, eh? Those who were okay, no wedding. So when he said that, everybody said, ah, pastor, no, no. The lady was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. All those who were normal and healthy were looking at them saying, what have we done to you, God? And she went back to sit down. Nobody congratulated her because they felt the pastor just misfired. He was just being sympathetic. He was just being emotional. A young man was in Germany praying for a marriage. He wanted to settle down. God said to him, go back to Nigeria. He comes back to Nigeria. Was going home. God said, no, check into a hotel. He checked into a hotel. He stays at the balcony. He saw the sister walking. I mean, one part, I'm not talking about just one part of the body gone. The hands were like that. Walking in with another sister. They were walking on the road. And God said, that's your wife. Eh? God said, that's your wife. Go and talk to her. What? I left Germany for this? He came down. He was walking. Two other girls were walking. So he called her. He said, you, the one that was okay, said, me? He said, no, the other one. The one that was say, is it me? Say, yes. I don't have time. So the brother said, look at this one. You don't have time for who? If God, if not you. He said, my friend, he said, hey, I don't have time for people like you. He said, God spoke to me. She paused. God closed, he exchanged numbers. On the day of the wedding, people came. The reason they came was they wanted to see how the wedding gown would be on her. As they were coming, the brother was standing. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. With his suit. His heart was saying, God, you have finally messed up my life. He was just there. No smile. They were reading hymns. And in his head, I'm sure he was just thinking of, if I just get into this, I'm going to escape and just run away. The lady came. As the hymn was going on, when they were done, somebody raised up a worship. As they were worshiping, the power of God fell. With her gown, she began to roll, turn, stood up, hands healed, legs healed. To cut a long story short, she is a great woman of God now in Germany. So what was God saying to that man? Go home, pick my vessel, pick a minister and come to Germany. Lord, lead me. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. He found him. He led him. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. Now, some of you have been privileged to visit our church. How many of you have been to our church back in Nigeria? Just wave your hand. You visited our church, okay? In our church, we have a spot called the emergency session. where they put the blind, the deaf, the paralyzed. For you to walk there as a preacher, you need a level of uncommon faith. Because you will see all kinds of people, all kinds of sicknesses. I went there one time and I saw a man. I couldn't come close because of the stench. His body was getting rotten. I saw worms. I moved back. I said, in the name, the Lord said, move closer. I said, oh, Father, have mercy on me, please. I moved closer. I said, the Lord said, take your hand off. I said, oh. He said, move closer. I said, I'm close. He said, closer. He said, put your hand down. Move closer. I was now standing with him. And the Lord said, hug him. A worm crept on my suit. And I was trying to, he said, leave it. I left. I want to pray. He said, that's all. The man began to cry. He was crying. He said, so God loves me. I told him, God said I should hug you. He said, so God loves me. I didn't pray a prayer. I was walking away. And somebody standing by me said, sir, you didn't pray. I said, God said I should hug him. He didn't tell me to pray. And I walked away, ministered to other people. The next day, the man stands in front of me smiling. I screamed. Brand new skin covered his whole body. One time, we're having a service in church. They're called Jehovah the Doctor. It's a miracle service. I saw, normally the doctors will attend to you. The doctors will confirm what is wrong with you before we pray. So I saw the doctors refusing to attend to some people. There were six of them because they were mad. They chained their legs, chained their hands. So the doctors left them outside. So I was walking in, the Lord said to me, I should go and meet the people and pray. I said, okay. So I went to where the mad people, we had six of them. The Lord said, get a tambourine. I got a tambourine. The Lord said, start dancing. What? Me? We mad men? And I'm dancing. Who is mad? The Lord said, start dancing. I said, no song, no choir, no music. Just be dancing. They were there. About two were calm. The others were. One was just there doing. And the Lord said, dance. For who? How can I be entertaining madmen? The Lord said, just worship me and dance. And I began to dance. I was just dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. One of them looked at me. He pointed his hand. He began to laugh. He laughed. He started dancing. He was dancing. And his steps were coherent. The other joined him and started laughing. He was dancing. He was dancing. Three of them joined me and were following me. In my heart, I was saying, oh my God, help me, please. And the other three were just there looking at me. He said, now lay hands on these ones. I laid that. That was all. Normal. Now, I would have wanted to lay my hands in the name of... No. Lord, lead me. Do you know why the mountains are insurmountable? Because you are not led. You took a step thinking it was God. Lead me. Speak to me, Spirit of God. Lead me. Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, he was looking for the father's missing asses. He thought he was looking for a missing ass. He didn't know he was looking for a missing throne. It was the throne that was missing. And God led him to Samuel. He went through Shalim, he went through Shalisha. He went everywhere until he found Samuel. Samuel gave him the answer. So what you are looking for is not in a place, it's in a man. It's not in a location, it's in an unction. Lead me. Can you be upstanding right now? Shilata. Lead me. Lead me, Lord. Lead me.
Lead me. I'm about to pray. See, you can be conventional, you can be ordinary, and you can be casual. But tonight I'm looking for a set of people that will cry and yearn for two things. Find me, lead me. Find me, and let the wind blow me on the right path, and lead me, lead me. I rest on your wings. Lead me. Lead me. Find me. And lead me.